to talk this morning about pain, specifically the body's response to pain and danger. Response in the body to pain is similar from a functional viewpoint to the workings of the other sensations of the body, like taste or sight or sound. Pain is detected by the nerve endings of receptor cells, then translated into a chemical and electrical code conveyed to your brain, where an intelligible meaning is derived and whatever necessary response is then initiated. At any given moment, your brain is registering and responding to a number of different signals. Your eyes may be alerting you to the fact that a person is walking towards you, while your ears have notified you, your brain, that the phone is ringing, and your legs are informing you that you have sat in the wrong position for too long and they are cramped and aching. Your body is constantly registering and recording and responding to different signals that it receives. The more discomfort or pain that you feel, the more urgent the signals are that are sent to your brain. Pain has its own hotline and can insist on priority attention in your body. It can operate with such overwhelming efficiency that it drowns out all the other signals that your brain receives. That message can spread out from the brain and involve the entire body. At the muscular level, your body responds to back pain by contracting or tensing up. This can sometimes begin a vicious cycle in which the tension causes even more pain as it squeezes nerves. As a result of pain, your blood flow changes. Blood pressure reacts to pain just as it does to anxiety, just as it does to fear. Intense pain can cause a person to flush or go pale or even to pass out. Pain can cause an upset of your digestive system by causing a spasm of your gut or even nausea or vomiting. The endocrine system responds to pain by secreting chemicals like adrenaline into your blood flow. Remarkably, this sensation of pain, which can override all other sensations and overpower any other forces and force them into the background, is the sensation that the brain chooses to give little storage space to in its memory bank. Your brain retains vivid memories of other things better than it does of past physical pain. In fact, even emotional or mental anguish, they're even more indelibly imprinted on your brain than physical pain is. We usually think of pain as something negative, something we would like to do away with, something that we would like to avoid. And yet the leprosy patient wishes he could feel the sensation of pain. Leprosy destroys pain nerves, making the body devastatingly vulnerable to injury, damage. Whether you realize it or not, pain contributes constantly to the quality of life you enjoy today. You can take a 5-mile walk and return with little or no damage done to your feet. A leprosy patient can't do that. Even if he can start his walk with normal skin tissue on his feet, he will end his walk with blisters and foot ulcers. Why is that? When you or I walk or jog along, pain cells in your toes and your heels and your arches and your ankles and your lateral bones keep your brain constantly informed as to how things are going and how they are doing. Those signals are constantly being sent to your brain, unbeknownst to you, subliminally, subconsciously. Your brain informs your legs, and your body is constantly making adjustments as you go. Whether in the length of your stride or how you land each step, your weight placement, whatever it may be. This is all taking place on a subliminal level without any conscious choices or decisions or adjustments on your part. You can walk along or run along and think of everything else in the world, and your body takes care of the rest. Only when all areas have been used and abused beyond their maximum capacity do the messages force their way to the forefront of your consciousness to insist that you stop. Communication of pain commences in a whisper. If relief is not forthcoming, then it raises its voice and talks a regular voice, and then that message is not heeded, it will raise its voice to a shout. In a leprosy patient, there is not even a whisper, much less a shout. As he walks, he makes no adjustments in his stride, for he is not aware that adjustments should be made. And he wouldn't know what kind to make even if you told him to make adjustments, because his feet give him no feedback. There is no sensation to tell him to change something. He stumbles and twists his ankle. He will continue his journey and continue to walk on that damaged, twisted ankle, causing sometimes irreparable damage. A healthy person nearly always falls down when beginning to sprain an ankle. You step on a loose rock and it gives way. Your body responds in a protective manner. As your ankle begins to twist, the lateral ligaments of your ankle undergo a terrific strain. Nerve cells detecting the strain categorically order the body to take all the weight off that damaged leg immediately. The thigh and calf muscles would become momentarily flaccid. But if your other undamaged leg is off the ground taking a step, you will have no support and will lurch to the ground. Your body prefers falling to forcing the ankle to take all of your weight in its twisted, vulnerable position. You get up hoping that no one saw. But in reality, you've just executed a perfectly executed, wonderfully coordinated maneuver. Saved you from a sprained ankle or worse. So be proud. We really try to make everybody feel good at this church. Teach tripping and stumbling, shows that you're coordinated. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about how good fat cells are. We just really try to make you feel good about yourself. Your body in many, many ways is constantly protecting itself in the best way that it can. An amoeba, as a one-celled organism, would obviously automatically perceive any known threat as a danger to the whole organism, and the whole organism responds. But organisms consisting of many cells need something more than that. Pain provides the link needed to keep the whole body informed and involved. The head must feel the needs of the feet. Anatomically, how this is accomplished is very unique. In the circulatory system, for instance, cells are linked by blood vessels that are made up of millions of intermediate cells, and that provides the linkage. In the nervous system, it is not that way. In the nervous system, a single cell may reach from almost one end of the body to the other, seemingly stretched like a Stretch Armstrong doll. One thin nerve cell joins your toe to your spinal column. It reaches a total of about 4 feet in length. None of your other body cells come close to that length or that size. Your body is registering a pain, responding to pain, and adjusting to and because of pain is an ongoing, continuous process. Every part of our body has a varying sensitivity to pain and pressure. Your eyes are extraordinarily sensitive to pain and pressure. Because of their function in the body, because of the way they have been made, they must be extraordinarily sensitive. They lie exposed on the surface. They must be transparent for obvious reasons. Because of their need for transparency, they do not have the proliferation of blood vessels that the rest of your body has. They do not have that proliferation of blood vessels coursing through them that every other organ on your body has in your body. A normal amount of blood vessels in your eyes would make your eyes opaque, thus defeating the purpose for their very existence. Because of this lack of blood supply, any invasion causes concern because your eyes cannot easily repair themselves. Being, if you will, blood starved, they do not have the wherewithal to heal like the other areas of your body. So in keeping with your body's remarkable design, your eyes have been given heightened sensitivity to pain and intruders. That is to protect them. A baseball player will back out of the batter's box, call timeout, hold up the game, keep the other players waiting, keep 50,000 fans waiting, keep millions of people watching the game on TV waiting, all because of a speck in his eye, a particle of dust, a gnat, a speck of matter, almost too small to see. Why? Because of how the eye responds to that intrusion. becomes hard to keep your eye open. Your eyes start to water. Your vision becomes blurry. Your eye gets irritated. You don't see a batter. Ball player call timeout and back out of the batter's box or off the pitcher's mound because a speck landed on his arm. Why not? Because God made it where arms aren't that sensitive. Otherwise, it would be impossible to live a normal life. If every speck of dirt, every insect, every particle of matter that landed on your head or your arms or your legs or your body caused the same amount of discomfort that they cause in your eye, you'd be miserable. You wouldn't be able to function in life. You couldn't touch anything. It would hurt your hands. The ability to pick up a hammer and drive nails would not be possible. You couldn't walk anywhere. Your feet would rebel. You couldn't do anything. But if your eyes had the same sensitivity that your hands or your feet have, you'd go blind. You wouldn't even notice a speck of dirt, a gnat, a grain of sand. You wouldn't know on a subconscious level to blink. And your eyes, if they weren't eaten away by foreign particles, would dry out and you'd go blind anyway. And by the way, that's why many leprosy patients do go blind, because they don't have that sensitivity. They don't know to automatically blink. And so unless they are taught to consciously blink, their eyes will dry out and they'll go blind. But every part of your body has been equipped with nerve cells with various degrees of sensitivity. Your eyes and your ears and your nose and your lips and your feet and your stomach. Every part of your body has been designed. The perfect design. Your fingertips alone are remarkable because of their various and many functions. They must be sensitive to pressure and temperature, and yet relatively pain-resistant. They must be delicate enough to perform many highly skilled and detailed tasks, and yet tough enough to type all day or hold a hammer or a pen or some other tool for hours at a time. Your body, depending on the area and the situation, is simultaneously sensitive to pain, tolerant of pain, resistant to pain, all at the same time. Also, you've been so wonderfully designed that all of those functions vary according to the overall need of your body at that given moment. For instance, if you were walking barefoot in your backyard on a warm summer day and you step on a sharp thorn, you will stop, automatically lift your foot most of the time without even really ever having put your full weight on it. You will pull out the thorn from your foot. But if you need to escape from a burning airplane, your cells know that the brain is calling on them to bear some unusual stress in order to prevent a more traumatic and serious stress. After escaping with your life, you may find that you stepped on a red-hot piece of metal which burned your foot and you didn't even notice it at the time, didn't even feel the pain, it didn't even register. You didn't stop in mid-stride this time. You didn't pull back in mid-step, even though the damage was far more severe than that caused by stepping on the thorn. Your body had a more overriding concern that caused those messages of pain to not be received and responded to as they normally would be. The time you felt no pain, your body was functioning perfectly. It entertained only the signals necessary for your very survival. Your body also tries to avoid pain whenever possible. It will do whatever it can to avoid danger. When danger threatens, it will do whatever it can to prepare your body to face the danger, to face the threat, to be able to respond in the best possible way. You are confronted with potential danger. Very few parts of your body are left unaffected. Your body begins to rally the troops, so to speak. Upon being threatened by physical danger, immediately the hypothalamus orders up chemicals that will initiate a series of events within your body that will enable you to be in the best possible condition to confront the crisis. Your vision will intensify as your pupils dilate. Without any conscious thought on your part, all your muscles will go on alert. Stress hormones will affect your entire circulatory system. Your heart will beat faster. It will contract more forcefully. Even in your body's extremities, your vascular muscles relax in order to allow the blood vessels to widen and carry a greater blood flow. Your blood itself changes. More blood sugars will begin to be in evidence to give emergency reserves for the anticipated work of your muscles and the energy and strain that they must perform. Clotting materials will multiply in anticipation of possible wound repair. Your body begins to do these things immediately upon being confronted by danger. Without any thought or plan on your part, your body just takes over and begins to do these things. Your bronchial tubes will flare open to allow for faster oxygenation of your blood. And your largest organ, your skin, your blood vessels will contract, bringing on a pale complexion. You heard the phrase, white as a sheet or white as a ghost. This lowers the danger of surface bleeding if injuries are incurred. It also frees up more blood for the muscle's urgent needs. The electrical resistance of skin changes as a protective mechanism against potential bacterial invaders that may come as a result of the danger that confronts you. All the while, these reactions are occurring in your body. While certain parts and vital areas are speeding up and intensifying, other non-essential functions are slowing down automatically by your body. Digestion will slow down to a virtual standstill. The blood normally assigned to that area is reassigned to more urgent needs. Your kidney filtration process is slowed way down. All of these responses are occurring automatically in your body, many of them instantaneously, all of them within a scant few seconds' time. Adrenaline is the Paul Revere chemical messenger of your body that sounds the alarm and marshals up the forces and puts them on alert. It's able to coordinate an entire army of select cells and have them battle ready within just a few moments' time. Now, there are people who choose to believe that all of that just happened to be. There are people in this world that choose to believe that all that I have just described has somehow, in some way, developed itself. They are called evolutionists. In the face of contrary evidence, against all reason and logic, in the absence of any empirical proof, in violation of established scientific principles, in spite of 1,000 questions that they can't answer, in defiance to the very word of God, they cling tenaciously to a theory for which there is no hard, solid substantiation. A theory which is based on assumptions, guesses, and lies, and mistakes, misguided hypotheses, and clever and not so clever deceptions. Perhaps you want to believe in evolution because of the heartache and sorrow and trouble you see in this world. How could there be a God, you reason, with all of the sorrow and grief that is on every hand? With the heartache we see in this world, surely there must not be a God. Because if there was a God that loves us, as the Bible says he loves us, why do people suffer, and why is there so much grief in our world? Sure, our bodies may be wonderfully equipped to deal with pain and danger, but why do these things even exist to begin with? Without question, there was an abundance of sorrow and grief, and heartache and trouble in this world. Without question. Where did it come from? Where did it come from? Why do we have? Romans chapter 5 and verse 12 says, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Oh, it was not God's plan that there be heartache and grief and sorrow in this world. That is not why God created the world. Man brought heartache and grief and sorrow, and this world is saturated with sin today. And sorrow comes as a result of sin, and heartache and grief come into our lives because our world is soaked with sin. James chapter 1 verse 13 says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. This world is suffering today because we live in a world of sin. Sin brings misery, and sin brings heartache, and sin brings judgment, and sin brings death. And ultimately, in eternity, those that do not have their sins forgiven will pay for their sins forever, apart from God.